Susan B. Brocktelluride Inside and Out. I'm speaking with Kelly Gooden. Kelly is the Executive Director of Second Chance Humane Society. Its fundraiser, its annual fundraiser, is coming up on Monday, September 10th, and Tuesday, September 11th, and all you have to do to support your furry friends is go out with a bunch of your friends and eat. Kelly, thanks for joining me.
Well, thank you.
So I want to talk about a little bit of perspective on Second Chance and its history. Can you talk about when the difference between now and when Second Chance was founded in 1994?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been quite a transformation. And back then, it was founded by about 4 to 5 volunteers who basically, in response to a lack of animal welfare services in Yuri County, got together and provided a handful of foster homes where pets could go, because at that time, if pets were found, stray pets, there was no shelter and no means for pet parents to locate the pet. So they placed them in their own homes and worked to find them new homes. The coverage area at that time then quickly expanded to include San Miguel County. And really since then, we've grown further and now also offer partial services to other adjacent areas, such as Montrose County. But really since the point of origin has developed from a small volunteer-based foster care program to a truly well-functioning organization operating an animal shelter and really valuable community programs and services, as well as, of course, our considerable revenue-producing thrift shop. And in fact, it was a thrift shop that was opened in 1998 that really allowed us to grow as quickly as we did because of the income stream that was enabled and that we really still rely heavily upon now to sustain our growth. And more recently, as a result of our early success, Second Chance has developed a vision to become more of a center of inspiration for our communities relative to our relationship and responsibility to animals. So more currently, our organizations wanted to expand beyond being beyond the antiquated, reactive programming of traditional animal welfare organizations and wanted to focus more on proactive solutions that foster healthy, positive environment for pets and people. So this is through education and prevention and offering broader financial resources to low-income pet parents, as well as offering traditional sheltering. So another really critical milestone in the progression of the organization was upon realizing that the region's need was greater than the organization's capacity. We'd been operating, you know, out of a small sheltering facility that was just not able to keep step with the demand that we saw for services and programs. So we responded to that by establishing a stepwise framework to achieve operational sustainability and realize the development of a true animal resource center. So back in May of 2011, we initiated our Building Second Chances capital campaign for a new facility. And really, this is when things really took off for us with, you know, being able to move forward. In October of 2011, we purchased Angel Ridge Ranch, which is a 52-acre property with a few existing structures. And hopefully most listeners are familiar with the location just north of Ridgeway. And as a side note, the thrift shop maintains its current location. But bringing us to current day, by purchasing and relocating to Angel Ridge, we were able to increase our potential capacity for saving lives. And once we complete our new dog facilities, which I hope to talk about shortly, we'll be able to double our intake populations and have space to continue increasing those populations as well as our programs and services.
Great. Can you give me a couple of bullet points on the near-term goals of Second Chance?
Absolutely, yeah. Of course, our first and more immediate one is to increase our capacity, as I was just discussing, for housing homeless pets. With the current facilities that we have inherited through Angel Ridge, after the purchase, we're limited to only about 10 to 12 dogs, which, you know, simply is not enough space. The cat space did more than double when we moved to Angel Ridge, so that's not really an issue. And then, you know, our other focus is on prevention. And so we want to be able to expand those programs. And this is big picture where we have the greatest impact. And I like to refer to analogy about prevention programs being upstream, keeping animals from falling in the river, versus being downstream, having to pull them out. So that goal is really about the successful impact of prevention. And then we have just some broader goals that we focus on in tandem with these two, because they're really required to support their success, such things as increasing our volunteer base, which augments our staff and supports our new programs. And then, of course, identifying new revenue streams to support our growth. Currently, for example, private donations only account for about 10% of our income, so there's a lot of area for growth for that, because our earned income, like through thrift shop and fundraisers, accounts for over 75%. So we do really want to focus on tapping into, you know, more private donations and that sort of thing.
Great. So Angel Ranch was at one point a dream, and now it's a reality. But this new reality still is not maximized. So talk about what it will take, and that's in part why you're doing this fundraiser called ARF, A Real Feast for Our Furry Friends. So talk about the ranch in the context of this particular fundraiser, but in general, once you raise funds, what more will you be able to do that you can't do now?
Sure. Well, Angel Ranch was essentially the missing link that Second Chance needed to move forward, not only in capacity to rescue pets, but in our services and programs. And so with 52 acres to grow into, Angel Ridge offered a great package as an animal resource center, and which is why we absolutely jumped on that opportunity. But it did lack in industry-specific facilities to house high turnover of pets. And so we really tagged that as the new dock facilities in particular as the first priority after the purchase, which happened back in October. And so we're really ready to move forward on accomplishing that, and that's, again, why we are, you know, doing more, you know, public exposure to highlight that, you know, the purchase of Angel Ridge was the first step, but the dock facilities are really the second step to complete where we need to go. The current dog shelter population resides in a pre-existing barn on the property that was renovated after we purchased it, but mostly just temporarily to serve as a dog shelter. It really limits the capacity and presents various challenges and inefficiencies. And beyond expanding capacity, the new facilities are also intended to be more suitable and health-promoting for dogs in terms of proper airflow and ventilation and temperature control, which are really critical considerations in shelter industry. And they will remove the need for a caged housing system to be replaced by what we call real-life rooms for dogs to reside in, where they can just, you know, be free of cages. And they'll create much more efficient use of energy and of our staff and our volunteers. And they'll have dog rooms connected to each dog room to increase outdoor access and increase adopter access to the dogs. And then the new facility would also free existing space that we're currently using for housing to provide for program expansion that we've always desired but have been limited in providing over the years due to space restrictions. And I have a quick update on the campaign, whether you want to do that now or later. Okay. So this has really been exciting for us, and that when we, again, moved into the second round of the campaign after the purchase, we did that just this May because we were able to sell a plot of land that we'd purchased back in 2004, and at that time it was the intent to use it as a site of the new shelter, but then we purchased Angel Ridge and that need was eliminated. So we sold that in May unexpectedly for $125,000, and we just saw that as an opportune catalyst to infuse donor excitement and confidence into this next stage of the campaign, so we just decided timing was right. And then since the sale, another $131,000 was raised through capital grants, the first being the Animal Assistance Foundation. They're based out of Denver, and they provided $50,000 towards the project in June. And then the Tired Foundation, our local foundation, approved $75,000 in July. And then this month, an anonymous foundation approved another $6,000. So we're getting close to just under $300,000 to start that campaign.
Congratulations. That's great.
Thank you.
There's one other detail of who you are that may fall between the cracks if we don't address it.
Mm-hmm.
What does the fact that you are licensed mean to potential donors and pet parents?
Well, there's a few implications of that. One is that as a licensed animal operations organization, we obtain our licensure through the Colorado State Department of Agriculture, and they have requirements that are guided by best housing practices for safely maintaining healthy animal populations. And they're guided by such things as space and resources to maintain certain numbers of pets. So in following these guidelines, our current temporary facilities restrict our dog populations to what I mentioned before, 10 to 12 dogs, although variations do exist depending on size of the dogs and puppies and whatnot. So the new dog facilities that we want to build would easily double the number of dogs that we could rescue because we'd be increasing the housing space that's required to house, you know, twice the amount that we're doing. And what this means to potential donors and adopters is that we've always maintained a positive relationship with the state licensing department and will continue to do so as not to compromise our future operations. So, you know, there's no concern that we're going to lose our license because we you know, follow those guidelines very strictly. And unfortunately for adopters, this does, until our new facilities are built, limit our available pets. But as a licensed organization, adopters can be assured that our pets are provided very diligent and compassionate care and housing. So it's, you know, that kind of double-sided aspect to it.
Wonderful. It's no secret that the Thyroid Foundation is very generous and has been very generous throughout the region, but it also has extremely high standards. What do you think really grabbed the attention of the Grand Committee with regard to Second Chance and enabled you to get this special initiatives grant that you got?
I think there are a few factors. The first being that the Tyler Foundation has played a significant role in our organization over the years. We've had a really strong partnership with them. And historically, the foundation has been the most substantial funder of our community outreach programs that serve this whole region and has really enabled these programs to grow each year. So we've always recognized the Tyler Foundation as a valuable asset to the region, particularly when considering the fact that many regional and statewide foundations exclude animal welfare organizations from funding eligibility because they focus primarily on, you know, human kind of programs, service programs. So as an animal-loving community, this is something that we can really take pride in with the Tyra Foundation, that they, you know, include animal programs. And in our grant application, I think the fact that, you know, we're looking at selling land and we had such a strong response in the first part of our campaign, and we're a very healthy, financially stable organization. Those all built confidence, I believe, in the board and in really securing this grant for us. And being the recipient of a special initiatives grant from the foundation, it just really highlights the foundation's respect and for our organization and that the support of our animal welfare service gap that we provide to this region. And additionally, the confidence that the grant awarded demonstrated, it has served to really fuel the confidence of other funders and has really helped to kick this campaign into gear quickly. So we're just really extremely grateful to the foundation for their strong show of support and definitely we're taking, you know, a sense of pride that their, you know, commitment to us.
Wonderful. Kelly, do you have anything to add that I've failed to go over with you in this series of questions I've put forth?
No, just, you know, appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and hope people can come out and eat a lot of food on during the ARF event, which we're excited about. The response from the restaurants in the region was just overwhelming, and again, just really shows that this is a great community for us to be operating in, as a true animal-loving community.
I agree. So this is Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out. A real feast for furry friends, ARF, takes place, once again, it takes place on Monday, September 10th, and Tuesday, September 11th, at participating restaurants. The list is in our story, so look at it, and it's by day. So some restaurants are only Monday, some are only Tuesday, and some are opening up to this event both days. Kelly, thanks so much for joining me, and I look forward.
Well, thank you very much.
I look forward to an annual conversation about ARF and all, and more positive upgrades about your organization.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.